Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour is brought to you by Sunrise Chevrolet in Glendale Heights, the bright way to buy.
What's your name, son?
Danny Bernstein. I'm from Deerfield, Illinois.
Dan Bernstein on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That's enough. Don't care. Not interested.
Insightful sports talk for your workday from one of Chicago's most respected radio professionals.
Professional what?
Professional penis.
You don't know what the hell you're doing!
Dan Bernstein.
The guy is full of hot air.
In a semi-permanent state of flatulence.
Middays on The Score.
We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Ian Happ is scheduled to make his regular weekly visit a day late, but he will be with us momentarily, and we look forward to talking about the Cubs and this final series of the season this weekend. Anthony Herron will sit in for the entire 10 o'clock hour as we preview the Bears and the Falcons. Matt Miller will join us at 11. There's some actual college football games that are occurring this weekend. We'll get his NFL thoughts as well. Want to listen back to some of what Bulls head coach Billy Donovan said as well. And then later on in the show, I am going to blow your mind with some crazy MLB stats that involve the Sox and the Cubs. If you have a mind now, enjoy it while you can, because your mind will be blown and your identity will cease to exist as you currently know it late in the show when I drop all this crazy knowledge on you. It'll be life-changing or something. 312-644-6767 is the phone number at WSCR The Score. If you want to email, you can. Email Bernstein at 670thescore.com. That's where you go to listen to us live, because we stream at 670thescore.com. You can send a text that goes to the text zone. That's brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. When you text, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein670. My personal Twitter feed is at Dan_Bernstein. Also, make sure you download the radio.com app. That way you can stream The Score on all your mobile devices. You can interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. And you can watch us, because Brian Gertsch directs our video feed on Twitch, at which I am looking right now. And the Twitch feed is at twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. There is a concurrent chat that is streaming just to the right of the Twitch feed, so feel free to come out and join us there and be a part of that. Brian Gertsch directs it. Shane Reardon is in for Jay Zawoski, and he's acting as our executive producer today. But Ray Diaz, the executioner, is in his place on the board doing all the things that he does. Let's talk some baseball with our friend from the Cubs.
Welcome back. Ian Happ.
It's hard to take Ian Happ out of the lineup. This guy's swinging the bat really well. He's been a staple. He's the real deal.
Happ is a switch hitter. He's got a beautiful swing. He's strong. We've seen him hit some long home runs.
Happ drives one in the air to right field and deep. If it's fair, it's got a chance to leave the yard. And the Cubs lead 1-0. Off the scoreboard and straightaway right. Off the video board.
Outfielder for your Chicago Cubs.
He can run. He's a very good athlete.
Now he's got all the tools.
That man at third and only one out. That is going to be caught by Happ on the dive.
A
run-saving play by Ian Happ. Spectacular catch out there in right center field. Ian goes headlong on the sinking line drive and hauls it in.
Host of the Compound Podcast.
We have Alec Mills with us. At what point during the no-hitter did you realize you were throwing a no-hitter?
For me, like, the big moment walking off after the seventh inning, like, it was, like, my body, it almost went, like, numb. I don't know if numb's the right word, but it kind of, like, just took over, and it was like, holy crap, like, this might, like, I'm pretty close to this happening. And I think I took a glance at, like, pitch count, and I was like, and I have a decent chance of them letting me go the whole way. So then, yeah, that's when I was like, oh god, I had to go sit down and, like, take some deep breaths.
I was my pants. I looked up with, like, an out in the seventh and went, holy, there's no hits. Every time there was a left-hander up, I was going, oh my god.
Ian Happ, every Thursday on the Dan Bernstein Show on 670 The Score. Welcome
back. Time for Ian Happ here at the bottom of the hour, brought to you by Glenview Luxury Imports. The North Shore's newest Alfa Romeo and Maserati dealership has arrived. Visit GLIGlenview.com. They've got it. Ian is on Twitter at IHAP_1, and he's with us on The Score. How are things, Ian?
Good. Finally back in Chicago, ready to be in this bubble that they have us in now.
So what does that mean specifically? How is the bubble, how is your quarantine changing your life?
Yeah, so we're in the hotel now. So kind of when we left Pittsburgh, it was, or we left for Pittsburgh from Chicago, you had to pack up everything. No more going back to your residence in Chicago. We're in the hotel. And it's basically like you're on the road, but we're in Chicago.
I imagine it's so hard for you. You're almost lucky that, I mean, you're not concerned about, you know, seeing your kids. You know, that to me, I just keep thinking about that, about how difficult that's got to be for some of the guys with families.
Yeah, that is. That's really difficult part. Some guys actually were able to bring their families in for kind of the remainder of this, which is nice for those guys, especially guys that hadn't seen their families for a long time. But it is difficult. It's really difficult for our staff because, unfortunately, our staff hasn't been able to have their families with them through this. So, you know, it's just a challenge for everyone.
Can we make watching Cubs baseball fun again, please?
Oh, man, that would be awesome for all of us, I think. I've definitely been a little bit of a struggle for the offense in the last week or so. And, yeah, we're just trying to find a way to get it to all click and win a couple baseball games coming in here.
I know players always use the phrase that hitting is contagious, and it's actually not. By statistically, there's nothing in the data that says it is, and yet people talk about it feeling that way. I think it's a projection. I think when people say, "Oh, the guys are flat," well, yeah, if they're not finding barrels, everybody looks flat. When they're running around the bases, they don't. But what sort of falls over a team when this kind of thing feels like it propagates from one to the next? And it's one of these games where I look up and it's like the Cubs are never up. It's like, are they actually allowing them three outs because the other team's batting the whole game?
Yeah, it's when you watch other players on your team go through and maybe not have success, it's difficult. Everybody tries to press everybody, especially in a lineup where like ours, where anybody can carry the team for a week or two at any given time. Everybody wants to be that guy. Everybody wants to come through and really put the team on their back and say, hey, guys, I'll take care of this for a couple weeks, and then we can all get going. And you know, once you get to that point where everybody's trying to do that and things aren't coming together quite right, it's just, it's difficult to get going as a group.
How do you avoid taking it out into the field with you? Does any hitter think about, oh man, I'm 0-3. I don't want to go 0-4 again, or maybe I can scratch one out here. How do you make sure that you have the mental capacity to just kind of shut that off?
Great question. It's really difficult, but I think that's what we practice our entire lives for. I think that's what we do all of our work away from the field, all of our mental work, and trying to make sure that we're mindful enough to be able to separate the two. And the biggest piece of that is probably understanding that when you're not going good on offense, you can impact the game on defense. You know, you can help make sure that we can win some 1-0, 2-0. You know, I think that's the one thing that's been really good, our pitching staff has done such a good job of keeping us in this when the offense has been struggling. And so winning a couple 1-0 or 2-1 baseball games, so having good defense, you know, just the outfield has been positioned really, really well for the last couple weeks. Just feels like every time the other team hits the ball hard, we're in the right spot. And I think that, you know, just little things like that go a long way when the offense is struggling. You have to be exactly stacked up right on defense to make sure that we have a chance to win some of these games.
We've all heard the legends of the various slump-busting techniques that have ranged from the sublime to the ridiculous to the disgusting, and there are stories in every sport. And Steve Kerr would talk about when his three-point shot wasn't falling, sometimes he just needed too many tequila shots and would tell his teammates to drag him up to his room and throw him in his bed to get some kind of mental reset. Is there anything you can do? Is there anything you've found athletically that helps to, like, reboot your system?
No, not quite yet. You try a bunch of stuff. You try switching bats or try changing cleats or batting gloves. And it's all mental, you know, because you're not a different baseball player than you were when you were going good. Nothing's really changed. It's just the way that you perceive yourself or the way you perceive the game. And we have a lot of really good baseball players in this team. Very good swings. They're very good hitters and have proven that time and time again in their careers. So it's nothing physical. It's just getting yourself to a point where mentally you believe in yourself and have the confidence to go out there and get a few hits.
I learned something from the Compound Podcast episode 30, and I thought that I'd been around the game long enough, and I worked in multiple levels in the minors and been in clubhouses, and this was the first time I'd ever heard of the tradition of the no-hitter watch, that if you throw a no-hitter, you buy your catcher a watch. Absolutely the first time I've ever heard of anything like this. Is this all around the league, or is this just something that kind of gets handed down sporadically?
You know, I am pretty sure that it's an actual tradition. I know that obviously John threw his in, I believe it was 08, and you know, John got it was Barrett got him a watch. And then I know Jake Arrieta, when he threw his two, I'm pretty sure, you know, he got a watch for the catcher each of the two times. I think it was Rossi once and Montero once. And then I think maybe even for the second one, Jake might've gotten a watch for anybody who was there. But I kind of passed this on. I know as soon as we were in the locker room, that was kind of the running joke, was that, you know, the watches that Arrieta had, because Arrieta was at a different point in his career. It wasn't a shortened season, and Arrieta was getting a bunch of watches for a bunch of different people. And, you know, Mills, obviously, he's fresh in his career. He's been in the minor leagues for a while. So, you know, the watch that he did get, Victor, is so cool. It's this Roberto Clemente traditional or limited edition watch, like one of 3,000 pieces, because there's only, you know, one for each of Roberto Clemente's hits, and all the proceeds go to the Roberto Clemente Foundation. Obviously, Victor from Puerto Rico, that was really special to him. So just to kind of to see that and see the work that Orris did to be able to get him that watch engraved so quickly, it was really special.
We're talking with Ian Happ on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. You mentioned John Lester, and this could be, on Saturday, this could be his final start as a Cub. And we recognized his significance. His acquisition heralded the beginning of the competitive phase. That was the validation of the rebuild. And it was the team saying, well, you know, we know we're going to have to, maybe at the back end of this contract, as a pitcher who's going to be into his mid to late 30s, that we know that there may be some decline. And it's just amazing how for some of us, we just snap your fingers and it feels like yesterday that we were lauding his acquisition. And here we are. And with every day that goes by and every time we've spent around spring training and talked, I've recognized the significance that John Lester has had as a Cub, what he meant to them winning the World Series and what he has meant to so many young players coming through. How can you describe it? What's your experience been like? I know it's different for pitchers, but he's had an outsized presence and importance that I think really needs to be described beyond what he's just done on the field.
Yeah, I mean, John Lester is the most professional baseball player I've been around. He's an amazing person. He's selfless. He's done so much for me in my career since I came up, but just his – I don't know if you can say enough about his – the selflessness, but the ability to bring guys in and just make you feel like you're an important part of something. And the way that he talks about winning, the way that he oozes competitiveness and a winning culture, he's changed this organization. And I wasn't even here from the beginning, but of his tenure here. But I do know that he's had, this is his sixth year with the Cubs, and he's had made the five playoffs. And that was, I don't know if that was something that could have been fathomed by Cubs fans before he got here, right? And now it's the norm. And now we're very disappointed if we don't make the playoffs. We're very disappointed if we don't win the division or go to the NLCS or make it to the World Series. And John Lester started that phase here, and I think it will continue past his tenure whenever that ends. But as a human being, as a teammate, as a person, John Lester is the best to ever do it. He's the most professional. I think he's a Hall of Famer, no doubt. And I was emotional with his last start in pinstripes at Wrigley, and I will be emotional whenever his last start this year is as well.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting day on Saturday because the White Sox are some forces lining up here, because if the White Sox win that game, they will be the first team in MLB history to win every game against a pitcher of a certain handedness. They will be undefeated against left-handed starters for a season, which has never happened before.
Their lineup does stack up very well against left-handed pitching.
Well, I'm hopeful that this would be if you really want, you know how Sox fans and Cub fans are, that there's a double whammy there if John Lester is able to emerge victorious, or even if the Cubs are able to emerge victorious in a Lester start. So even more motivation for you in that. But we got to get to something else here because I can't forget this. I'm driving in Lincoln Park, and I'm at the corner of, what is it, Clybourne and Fullerton and Ashland right there at that confluence. And I look up over the Wendy's, and there you are on the Restore billboard. And I'm thinking, wait, what is this? Is this real? And then I did my research and I went back and I watched the commercial. How did this come about? Because it does appear that our drives around Chicago are going to feature a lot of these ubiquitous Ian Happ billboards.
Oh yeah. Right after the convention this January, I had the procedure done. I was noticing myself. The hairline was receding. We were getting a little thin up top in the front. And said, why not preemptively strike this thing? Make sure that my hair is good to go. I have a brother who's 6 years older, and I could see where I was headed with his hairline. So I just wanted to get ahead of it. And so I did it right after the Cubs convention, January. And then kind of 6 months in, it was pretty full and looking really good. And you know, we ended up getting everything done right before summer camp started with the photos and everything. And I think the billboards turned out okay. It is kind of funny. I walked down to I think there's one on LaSalle and maybe Hubbard downtown. And I, the first day that it was up, Kipnis texted me a picture of it. And so I walked down there and looked at it, and it was pretty funny. My mug just massive right in the middle of downtown. And I was actually looking at it, and a woman was walking by me, and she kind of looked up at the billboard and looked at me and looked up and goes, is that you? I think, yeah, I think it is.
That, you know what that is? That's the ultimate fluff. Right?
Yeah. I mean,
does not get fluffier than that.
Yeah. That's sometimes you got to find different ways to fluff yourself. Once in a while, it's a billboard.
Yeah, right? Once, well, for some, I guess it is. So is your bet with Dakota Mekis regarding the Bears-Lions game, is that paid off? Because I was kind of left hanging to figure out if that was morphing into the U.S. Open bet or if you were just going to find a free bottle of rum to get thrown your way.
Yeah, that is 100% going to make him get me a bottle of rum. And we do have to calculate the U.S. Open bet. We had Mills on for the entire episode. And the way that we, you know, like to keep our episodes relatively short, under, you know, less than 45 minutes. And I knew that if we started to get into the U.S. Open, we were going to kind of run out of time. So next week, we're going to have to try to calculate all of the U.S. Open numbers, because I believe the bet was your two scores combined. So I know that Dakota had Schauffele, and he was probably the low score of our picks, but I can't remember who his second pick was. So we want to make sure that the low total is still intact.
We haven't really had time with so much going on with the sports headlines this week, with the passing of Gale Sayers and with the Bulls hiring a coach. I really haven't gotten a chance to talk about Bryson DeChambeau and what that U.S. Open was and what it meant. But it was remarkable to me. And say what you want about DeChambeau and the way he carries himself and some of that, because, you know, not my favorite. At least it wasn't Patrick Reed, but it's not, you know, not my favorite among golfers for whom I want to root. But the story of him doing what he did to that course, how he did it. And you heard it in Paul Azinger's voice. I think it was the drive on 17 that goes, you know, a zillion yards. And Azinger just kind of sighs to himself. And he says, man, he says, it's just a different game. He's just playing a different game. And he sounded like he was lamenting that fact. But it's the U.S. Open and the USGA and those course setups, as you know, as you explained that with your dad involved for so long, that there's a lot of pride in there. And I don't know what you do know. And I don't know if this is just the start of it, if we're just going to have a bunch of hulked out people driving the ball 360 and that's going to be golf.
Yeah, he did a great job of just being able to get out of the rough and being able to get up and down. And I think that maybe in the future you'll see even more penal rough, and you just won't be able to hit it out of there. I was amazed that he could still get a club on the ball and advance it as well as he did. But I'm not sure what the future holds for that, if you're going to see more protection for the golf courses. And because, you know, he didn't have to hit that many fairways to win the tournament. But the course was set up great. I think you saw that by how challenging it was for so many guys. You know, he did run away with it a little bit. But even on Sunday, you know, Matthew Wolf hits it a long way too. And, you know, he wasn't able to kind of put it together on Sunday. And the one thing about Bryson that I will say is good for him for putting in all this work and being committed to a philosophy and it paying off for him. And I don't think he does it in a malicious way where he, you know, he doesn't make fun of other guys on the tour. He doesn't rub it in guys' faces. He isn't saying that. He's just focused on his own game. You know, he's a little different than the other guys on the tour, but he's just focused on his own game. That's what he cares about. He's not disrespecting anybody out there. It's just what he believes in and his ability to really be that confident in himself and have it pay off. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's also the same guy that yelled at a cameraman for not helping build his brand. I mean, there have been a couple of moments here, and there is an edge of smugness to it where he knows he's good. He knows that he's gotten done what he said he was going to get done. It's just, I guess there's a level of obvious self-satisfaction that comes through because he wants it to come through.
Yep. Yeah, it's not always perfect, but some parts of it I do respect.
So the White Sox series this weekend is going to close everything out. How do you make sure that that you, your team, and I don't know what you're hearing from David Ross right now, if anything is different, but as the playoffs begin, we know, and I was just looking at some of the historical data and how it truly does not matter. There is no correlation between being hot or cold at the end of the regular season and winning the World Series. And I think especially with all of the built-in variants and all the craziness and the quarantine and everything that's going on this year, variance is higher than ever. what now can be done as a team? I know you're not gonna meet and you're not gonna backslap and all that stuff, but what steps have to be taken just to say, okay, new season, new opportunity, new chance, let's be the players we know we are?
Yeah, I think there was a lot of logistical stuff that went into getting into this bubble that we're in right now. Honestly, I think a lot of guys had to deal with a lot of human elements, a lot of packing, a lot of decision-making on who's coming in this bubble, who's not, getting your family here, making sure they're taken care of. While we were on the road the entire time, a lot of that stuff is stressful. A lot of that stuff, especially in a season like this where you're already going through so much, just is another thing to think about. So I think now that we're inside, now that we've gotten to this point where it's all right, we've made it to the point where everything is out of our control. We're just playing baseball for as long as they'll let us now. I think it's going to ease some tension a little bit. And I think it's just getting back to our mission at the beginning of the season, which was having really good, long team disciplined at bats. And we just let that ride for as long as possible. We have a lot of really good hitters in this team. We have a lot of good baseball players. And you just got to believe in your guys. And I think that that's the one thing that I really appreciate with Rossi and how he's gone about it is he's trusted his guys. And there's going to come a point where this thing starts to get put together.
Ian, thank you as always. Continued good health and go get some barrels.
Thanks.
Ian Happ of the Chicago Cubs, our weekly guest here on Sports Radio 670. Looking forward to an hour of Friday pre-Bears intense, intelligent football talk with a guy very capable of that. Anthony Heron is going to be with us for the 10 o'clock hour. He comes up very, very soon on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.